For me, startup ecosystem is a collaboration of opportunity. I think that when people see that there is that ecosystem, they see that potential and they see where people can help them. So having that ecosystem is really important, especially for those early stage startups and people wanting to just get into it. That ecosystem needs to be there because it takes a village in order to raise a startup.
This episode is brought to you by VentureX Denver 5 Points. VentureX Denver 5 Points is a modern co-working space, offering its members a shared flexible workspace with a community of like-minded business professionals. Our members include entrepreneurs, established businesses, startups, and small to medium-sized businesses. With boutique hotel-style hospitality, you and your team are going to love it here. For more information, visit venturex.com/locations/Denver 5 Points. That's venturex.com/locations/Denver 5 Points. This episode is also brought to you by Tech Alley Denver. Tech Alley Denver is a place for local business, startups, and entrepreneurs to discover resources, sit in on panel discussions, fireside chats, Q&A sessions, and be a part of business-related topics, network, and dive deeper into their business. Held every third Friday of the month, in Denver's Santa Fe Arts District, speakers and attendees can enjoy free coffee, lunch, and the occasional sponsored happy hour. For more information, visit techalleydenver.org. That's techalleydenver.org. Come be a part of the local business and tech startup scene. This episode is also brought to you by Join and Crowd Digital Contact Cards. Create unlimited free digital contact cards, upgrade for only $1. Create your first digital contact card in under a minute. For businesses with two or more employees, discover Enterprise. Create branded digital contact cards for all of your employees. Easily distribute your latest video commercials and promotions every time your employees share their card. Download activity and contacts by employee. And never run out of business cards again. Create your first card today at www.joinincrowd.com. That's www.joinincrowd.com. joinincrowd.com. It's time to join the in crowd.
Welcome to the Join In Crowd Business Podcast, Startup Ecosystems, No Stupid Questions, where we explore the hidden side of the startup ecosystem by asking the questions that every founder and entrepreneur needs to know, but may not ask. Here's your host, with all of the stupid questions, Joseph Hecker.
Hey guys, thanks for joining me on another episode of Startup Ecosystems, No Stupid Questions, and I've got Diane from Founder Institute. Diane, can you share with us a little bit about Founder Institute?
Sure. Founder Institute is the world's largest pre-seed accelerator. We operate in about 200 cities worldwide, and I am the Colorado co-director, and also I work for Founder Institute directly as a head of accelerator growth. But Founder Institute works with the serious startups who just happen to be at the earliest stages of their journey, so we help them get to traction and get to funding.
Now, I'd like to start with a baseline of what does a startup ecosystem mean to you?
Sure, and that's a great question. For me, startup ecosystem is a collaboration of opportunity. I think that when people see that there is that ecosystem, they see that potential and they see where people can help them. So having that ecosystem is really important, especially for those early stage startups and people wanting to just get into it. That ecosystem needs to be there because it takes a village in order to raise a startup.
I like the term opportunity in that. So you can't really control where a person comes into the ecosystem. Maybe it was a childhood dream and this has been a long track. Maybe they just didn't like how things were done at the last business and they think they can do it better. So picking that, how they come in, isn't kind of the ecosystem's choice, but having the opportunities once they get there, that's something that we can have a lot of opportunities, we can have a lot of resources. The question after that becomes, how do they find those?
Right, and I think a lot of it is the job of the ecosystem because you want to meet those founders where they're at in their journey, in their thought process. So a lot of it is making sure that you have different events for different people. They're going to respond to different events differently. And then as far as getting the word out, that's always a challenge. And I think as technology evolves, it makes some parts of that easier, but other channels are still struggling with that. So what I have found to be most beneficial is for that ecosystem to work together and have doing a lot of cross promotions and making sure that people are aware of other events that are going on, because it's so easy to get siloed and miss out on those opportunities.
Now, you guys through Founder Institute, you guys have like a almost like a master list of resources and
We do. We have what's called an ecosystem canvas, and we make that available to all of our cities. So we've got, I guess now, about 200 of these ecosystem canvases around the world. And what we do is we look at different areas of help that the founders would need from the different stages of their journey, early all the way up to about Series A or so. And we look at a community and find not just those startup organizations, but also law firms, accounting firms, as well as VCs and angels, and then other people in the community who are willing to help. So that's something that Founder Institute does for all of our cities as a way to bring those communities together.
So, and I haven't asked too many stupid questions yet, but so stupid question. So I'm a business here, and I think I might be a resource. One, how do I find out about this list? And two, how do I get on it?
So we've done a pretty good job around some SEO. So if you type in looking for the resources, we generally come up, maybe in some bigger cities, not so much, but especially for those emerging ecosystems, we're pretty much there. For us here in Colorado, we've partnered with Colorado Startups, and they have that as a resource guide on their website. Colorado Startups is a startup organization here locally that works with early stage to maybe around Series A level of entrepreneurs. But we're actually in the process of making one massive ecosystem canvas, so a world ecosystem canvas, because we realized that over the last 2 years, the world got a lot smaller. And so it's not necessarily about just finding the resources in your own backyard, but also having that global connection.
So as far as those resources, now this is focused on startup, because personally, and this is kind of maybe a stupid question, but when does a startup stop being a startup? And
right.
There's a lot of, I know from just being in different ecosystems, there's a big emphasis on maybe like the original ideation, the 1 million cups pitch. I've got an idea, where do I start? I go pitch it. See if it even floats. Family and friends round, angel round. At that point, you're probably discovering more things. But at some point, you're just a business. You're
right.
And then you're right on your own to go to like Tony Robbins.
Yeah. Is Uber still a startup?
Yeah.
Right.
So where do the resources stop?
Right. So, and I guess from my point of view, just really focused on that early stage startup, I'm only dealing with the startups. It's still that scrappy phase where you're just really trying to grind it out in order to get that next customer or to launch that next release. But I feel like for an ecosystem to truly thrive, you need to have those different layers of resources available. And because even though you may not consider yourself a startup anymore, now you are a business. There's different strategies and different help that you need. And so having additional connections on that transition is really important as well. I think. And startup founders will tell you it's a very lonely journey, and it doesn't really get any less lonely the further up you go. So having those connection points and really meeting other people in a similar level to you is important as well, because you'd be amazed at how many resources there are available, but they're all stored in someone's head. And so it's really getting that conversation going and talking to people, your peers, and seeing what they know, because chances are they've gone through a similar challenge as well, and then they can walk you through it or point you to people who helped them, and maybe they can help you.
So so my first dive into the startup ecosystem, I didn't consider that. I knew small business, so my first startup, I took my savings and I spent it, and I ended up broke. And then discovered the startup ecosystem, all the pitch events and angels, and I didn't even know what an angel was. I knew what SBA was.
You're looking for the wings. Where are these angels?
Yeah. And then there was a lot of misconceptions on that. Mm-hmm. In fact, on Meetup, I host these startup founders 101 workshops. And I posted into an entrepreneurs group. And the admin for the Facebook group responded and said, "When you say pitch decks 101, what does pitch decks mean? And if you maybe explain that, that might help more people discover this resource." And I sat down and I went, "Well, if you don't know that and you can't Google it, then you're probably not the person for me, you know? You probably got more problems than I'm willing to deal with." But, let's say I'm a person with an idea. I've either lived here in Denver or Colorado, or I just landed at the Denver airport. Where do I start? And how do I know to start there?
Right, and that's a great example, because Colorado, no one's from here anymore. So I'm originally from Kansas. I've been here about 15 years now. And so it's really funny. Usually in the community, when you're networking, the first question you ask is, "Hi, how are you?" And then second question is, "Where are you from?" Because nobody's from here. And so you get all kinds of answers there. We have a great resource in downtown Denver. It's called the Commons on Champa, and their motto is "Starting Up, Start Here." And so they really are a hub of the ecosystem. There's a lot of other organizations that run through the Commons on Champa. They recently reopened because during COVID they have co-working space, and so they had to close. So they've had a big reopening. That's a great place to start. They also have a resource calendar on their website, and then their newsletter. They're featuring all kinds of other organizations and other events and things that are going on in the community. So that's a great place to start. I know I didn't quite have as similar of a journey as you, but my first startup was similarly blind. I had no idea what I was doing. Was using my own savings as well, thought there's got to be a process for this. My background is in engineering. I'm used to following a process. So I was in the mobile space with hundreds of thousands of mobile apps out there. Surely someone else has done this before. So, but I found that in the community that I was at, there weren't as many resources available. And I really thought that, especially at that early stage where I'm so nascent and naive to a lot of this, that finding someone or some organization to at least say, "Hey, here are the steps that you need to follow, here's the direction, here's some people you need to talk to," that would have been very beneficial for me. So that's where I started getting more involved in the Denver community and seeing all of the resources there, and that's a big part of why I was drawn and started participating in Founder Institute, because they have a similar ethos where they feel like good founders are everywhere, there's potential everywhere, they just need those resources in order to get that next step. So as far as entering the community, meetup groups, they've been around for a long time, but that is a good place to get started. Also, a lot of events are now just on Google, so Google Events, and they're there. That's really a good entry point, is just to show up to an event, because it's not so much about that one event, it's talking to the people at those events and then asking them, "What else should I get involved in? Where else are you going? I'm trying to learn more about venture capital. Where should I be going?" And especially for the Colorado community, people are so friendly and so willing to provide additional information because they know that if they can help you be successful, that we'll all end up benefiting from it.
So, and I agree, Colorado, people here, and just in Denver, I'm new here, moved here in November of 2020. And if there's somebody on the sidewalk and they've got this, like, confused, looking for a spot, people jump to it right away and like, oh, what are you looking for? Oh. And they give them directions and a little bit. Now, in a startup ecosystem space, I like to say people with ideas don't have money, people with money don't have ideas. And that's a great pairing for funding your idea. But a couple of things, and I've been to a lot of different startup ecosystems, and I say that they all have a fragmentation and a discoverability issue. If you were to go to Silicon Valley, it sounds like you just like arrive somehow.
Right.
And there's Sand Hill, and you could go, I've pounded the pavement on Sand Hill. And you could technically, it doesn't really work that way. That visual doesn't quite match with the reality. There's a lot of appointments, there's a lot of distance between things. Now, can you run into people at coffee shops? Yes, but it's not as frequent anymore. So I'm at home. I've got this idea for a thing here, and I go to Meetup. I find that on the Meetup groups, those people don't necessarily have resources. That's a State Farm person who started a Meetup because they wanted to get more potential clients together.
Right, right.
So they're not necessarily ambassadors to an ecosystem. And I guess that kind of prompts the stupid question of, so are ecosystems just kind of like decentralized spaces that it somehow refers to each other? Or when we say ecosystem, it almost sounds like it's working together.
Yeah, I think it would be a lot better if the startup and small business world would work together. My first business was a small business in the B2B space, and so I had my feet in both worlds. I think the organizations where that crosses is the SBDC, Small Business Development Center, and they do a really good job at trying to cater to both startups and small businesses, but they're a government entity, and so I think that there is that necessity of government to maybe come in and provide some of those bridges, if you will, because it does take a lot in order to bring those communities together. That's one thing about the Commons on Champa is it's a partnership with the Denver Downtown Partnership, and so you have that government influence there in order to make things happen. So I think that there's things that can be learned on both sides, but the strategies are different, and I think that the way that a small business is going to grow is different than how a startup is going to grow. So especially at the early stages, I think they're still pretty different. I think that there's a lot that small businesses can learn from the startup community. I think that the fail fast, fail often type mentality is something that could be embraced more by small businesses, just to also explore different revenue streams and to go beyond the box maybe that they're thinking that they need to operate in. But likewise, the startup side, they may be too scrappy for their own good, and so they need maybe more of the discipline that you might see in a small business setup. So I think you need both. I think that relying on any one side is not the way to go.
So let's go into more founder institute. How long have you guys been active here in Colorado?
So Founder Institute started in 2009, so we've been around for 13 years. We have had a presence in Denver off and on since 2010.
And then, so that's some good history. What are you finding? Ecosystems ebb and flow. They're kind of trendy. What are you finding is the kind of the common trend amongst either information that startups need, or maybe information that's kind of lacking, and we wish that we had more resources, or we were educating startup founders better?
Yeah, and we're really fortunate because we can see ecosystems globally, so we have a really good pulse on what's going on and what's trending in the world. And what we're finding is that COVID brought a lot of us together. It also created challenges, but people still need other people in order to help them grow their companies. So we're seeing globally that there's still a really high demand for finding co-founders. It's finding people who can help shoulder that burden. We also are finding that people need additional help with pitching to go to the Pitch Deck 101. A lot of people, they may watch Shark Tank and think that's all you need to do to raise a few hundred thousand. Just memorize a few minute pitch and you're good to go. There's so much more that's involved in giving a good pitch. We also still continue to see the need for funding and also that educational gap around funding. That a lot of founders, especially if they have that aha moment of creating that thing, I want to do this thing that's going to change the world, and they start thinking about how much it's going to cost to get this thing into the world, they immediately think, I need to go raise a few million dollars. It's easy, I've seen it on TV, I read about it in the news all the time, and that's extremely difficult as well. So we are seeing that there does seem to be a lot more information around that fundraising process, what it takes to get there, what investors are looking for. And if you've been watching the news over the last few months, the funding landscape has changed globally. And more so in the later stage rounds. At the early stage where we're seeing our founders, they're raising their first pre-seed or their seed round, there's still money available and there's still people actually trying to VCs raising funds to specifically invest in early stage startups. So it's shifting in Founder Institute's favor in a way, but there's still a lot of education that needs to happen around finding a co-founder, pitching, and then funding.
So, and this is kind of a stupid question. In other ecosystems, I see a lot of investors out at events, whether it's 1 million cups or, you know, just entry points, or and I see a lot of other ecosystems hosting, like Tech Coast Angels in Southern California. They put on a lot of events. I'm not seeing so many of those, and I rarely see an investor at any of these, anything in the networking space, any of those kind of getting started, pitch night things, mm-hmm. I'm not seeing investor involvement at that level. And then I'm going to have to say that it's because of that we're not preparing properly. Mm-hmm. We're not getting that input and that feedback. It's just kind of lower level. I see a lot of marketing companies and small businesses who think that maybe they could benefit from startup entrepreneurs. I see them at events. I don't see the venture capitalists or angels showing up to these events. How is that good, bad? Do we need to fix it? Should we fix it?
Right, and I think to put some context around that Colorado and especially Denver has been a little slow to come out of the COVID funk. So we have when COVID first happened, a lot of our events, including Founder Institute, we all went virtual, and Zoom fatigue is kind of a thing. So virtual, like what you guys are doing now, that's been our world for the last 2 years, 2.5 years or so. I was hoping that Denver and just the greater Colorado community would have started to do more in-person events and more events now that we're getting out of COVID, but it's been surprising that it's been slow. I think maybe Denver is just more of a cautious community around COVID. I'm not sure, but I think that's part of it, is that we're still trying to figure out how this looks. I'm still seeing some hybrid events. But even prior to COVID, where I was seeing the investment community get involved is more along their own events. We have a really great angel group called Rockies Venture Club. They're the oldest angel group in the United States. And they run a lot of events, and not just geared specifically towards founders who are getting ready to raise that Series A, but they are providing some educational pieces there. So I think it's sort of, again, to your point, how do you know where to go, that the different organizations are doing things, but it's still within their silo. And so once you know about it, then you know about it. As far as coming to events, again, there haven't been a lot of in-person events that have happened over the last 2 years. Denver Angels puts on some in-person events, and they're starting to ramp those back up again. So it is happening, but you're right, there's not that cross-pollination I see. Where I do see that is more on panel events. We have Denver Startup Week coming up, and so I know a lot of our investment community is going to be involved in that event. So it's more, I guess, specific places where they're coming out, but it's not necessarily to the 1 million cups areas, yeah.
Because, I mean, the resources through Founder Institute are great. It's just, how do we connect it more? And because information is great, but if it's sitting on a bookshelf and nobody picks up the book, or nobody knows to go to the bookshelf to pick it up, I feel like we just need like a... when you go to Vegas and you land at the airport, the hotels have signs everywhere. You can't miss it. So if you're looking for the best room rate, they've got that slapped everywhere. And I feel like we could do the same for the startup community. You know, there's gotta be more, get the information out to more people. But I love what you guys do. Is there anything that you guys are working on currently that founders and startups should know about?
Oh, well, we're doing a lot speaking of funding and investors, we're doing a lot more in expanding that offering as part of Founder Institute. We're known for our core program, which is our four-month accelerator for those early-stage founders, but we actually work with founders from idea to exit. So once founders graduate our core program, they can go on to Funding Lab, and we're expanding that program. We also are doing a lot as far as creating more venture capital in the world. We have a sister company called VC Lab, and we are creating venture capital funds. They don't necessarily have to invest in Founder Institute companies, but a lot of them do. So now we're able to have pockets of investment around the world in areas where maybe it's been underrepresented before. So we're trying to, again, it's providing resources at all of those stages. So once you have that idea and you're ready to go and you do need that check, we're able to step in and connect you to those investment resources, and not just existing ones, but we're creating them throughout the year. So we also are putting together additional sources, FI Venture Network, which is a hub for venture capital funds and angel groups who want to invest in early stage startups, because we're so hot right now. And we have the largest graduate pool of early stage startups. So we're doing a lot to formalize that process. So those are some big things that are coming up. In 2 weeks, we have our in-network global conference called Founder X. That's virtual this year, of course, right? And so that has been really exciting to put together. We have Esther Dyson coming in as our keynote speaker, and we have other keynote speakers as well. And then as far as our Colorado chapter, we are currently enrolling for our fall program. It starts in October. Our spring cohort was actually the top founder-rated program in the world. So we're doing some things well here.
Very cool. Well, and that kind of leads to the next obvious question is, how can people find out more?
Oh, I don't want to talk to anybody. No, I'm happy to talk to other founders who are interested, not just in Founder Institute, but again, the resources. I like to think of myself as a resource hub and really like providing those connections and information for people. But if you are interested in Founder Institute directly, you can just go to fi.co and you can see all the information there.
Well, it was great having you on. We didn't dive into too many stupid questions. I did squeeze a few in there.
So, you did. You did. I caught a few.
Well, hey guys, thanks for tuning in for another episode of Startup Ecosystems, No Stupid Questions. If you got a nugget of information, if you've got a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor who is considering starting a business and they don't know where to take that next step, search Founder Institute and then discover some of the resources here. Start knocking on doors, asking around, and get out to events. Get out to the ones that are there and happening. You never know who you're going to meet.
Well, that's it, folks. That's another episode of No Stupid Questions in the books. If you would like to be a guest on Startup Ecosystem, No Stupid Questions, simply apply at www.joinincrowdpodcast.com/no-stupid-questions. One last stupid question. Who do you know that could benefit from this episode? Hit the share button and share this episode with a friend. Or an enemy.
Look, Mom. I made that.